This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Disabled Persons Assembly's notable radio show. DPA is the voice of all disabled people, whether the disability be physical, sensory, learning, psychosocial, or age-related. Over the next half hour, we'll discover how we can work collaboratively to achieve inclusion for all New Zealanders. DPA's notable radio show, A Whole New Attitude.
Kia ora tātou, everyone. Welcome to Disabled Persons Assembly Notable Radio for this Friday, the 5th of August, 2022. Hopefully everyone's having a great day and we've had some wonderful weather this week. Anyway, as I said on the last show, we are having a series of interviews post the recent hearings around disability, mental health, and lived experience of psychosocial disability and mental distress, which were held by the Royal Commission into Abuse and Care. Those were survivors who were disabled, who came from backgrounds of psychosocial disability and also the deaf community. Those groups were covered. Today on the program, I'm honoured to invite Leanne and Shannon to talk to us about their experiences, and in particular, Shannon's experiences with the abuse and care that Shannon has experienced. And please, I just would like, before we launch into the interview, to remind people that there may be things around violence or abuse that may trigger some people, so please do take care, and if you need to, please tune out if you need to. Okay, well, now first up, Leanne Barnett, we've had you on the show before, welcome back. What was the background to Shannon being in care, first off, to give us some context?
Well, Shannon has been in care since he was about 7, but he came to live with my whānau when he was 10. So that's way back in the mid-90s. And he went into the care of my parents started a place called Mount Cargill Trust, and he lived in there up until 2016. But things started going haywire at around 2012. So, yeah.
And so briefly, what happened to Shannon while he was in care?
Shannon, for all intents and purposes, was being abused. If you watch the testimony, you will see an incredibly sad photo, and he's nodding beside me, of him just before he came to live with me, where he was a size 2XL. And a man who was doped up on high levels of antipsychotics as a form of chemical control and very institutionalized. He was unhealthy, incredibly unhealthy. The photo beside that, if you watch the video, is of him just over a year later. He is a fraction of the man in terms of size that he was, had the smile on his face, the light in his eyes, the joy, the progress he'd made in bettering his life was moons apart.
That's good to hear. But anyway, the next question is to both of you, and particularly for Shannon. Welcome, Shannon. Why did the staff take away your communicator and replace it with a simple yes-no system? You told the commission about this specifically.
Hi, Chris.
By the way, listeners, Shannon is just inputting what he is going to say to us on his communicator.
I wasn't told why my fact liaison was removed.
So that's facilitation. That's not come through clearly.
Right, okay.
So that's how he communicates. So he uses a device now to communicate through facilitated communication.
It's known as Alternative Assisted Communication, isn't it? AAC. Is that right?
Sorry, what was that?
It's known as Alternative Assisted Communication, AAC.
One of them, yes, but as a whole.
Shannon, how did you feel about your device being taken away from you?
Shit, I was totally voiceless.
So you felt really totally voiceless. What did you do to try and speak up? Did anyone listen to your complaints or act on them?
I couldn't. I can't speak like you. I'm reliant on others.
So, as you were reliant on others, they wouldn't help you, is that right? By the way, Shannon is a person with autism, and that's why he's communicating in the way that he is with us, and that's how why he's sharing his experiences today as well, and has done so at the Royal Commission with the support, of course, of his sister Leanne.
No, they don't believe I'm capable, but I have been thrown off Massey.
Did you understand?
No, could you just clarify that, please?
It said, no, they don't believe I'm capable, but yet I'm Massey.
Okay.
Is capable of communicating, is what he's saying.
That's it. Absolutely. What happened when a complaint was made?
There wasn't a complaint at old place. New place leaded.
Could you just clarify that, please, Leanne? Did you say there?
There wasn't a complaint made at his former at Mount Cargill Trust where I took him out of.
Okay.
Residential organisation that he's under now, they have twice gone back on their word and tried and refused to allow staff to facilitate or to learn to facilitate them. The first time I went to the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Health told them to pull their heads in, amongst other things they were doing that weren't right, and a meeting was finally set up with a speech and language therapist that Shannon pays a lot of money for, because it is not funded for any adult outside of ACC in New Zealand. In the last 5 to 6 weeks, turned around and repeated again that he can no longer be facilitated in his home because they... saying there, and I quote, empirical data does not support it. It's an able-bodied perspective on how people with disabilities should live.
Of course it is, absolutely. Now, Shannon, I'd like to ask at the moment, where do you live right now? Is the life that you're living now, is it better for you where you now live?
In my own home. I like it lots, but not perfect.
And Leanne, as he was just, Shannon was just saying, he lives in his own home. And I know something of a story as I've had Shannon and you speak at the Enabling Good Lives workshop that we did a number of years ago. But it sounds like in terms of what the support he has received, that he is at least living on his own now. Is that correct?
With support. Yes, and there are a number of many good things about it, but there are still a lot of pitfalls. There's massive issues around staffing. People don't actually have the option of choosing who their staff is. They get sent and pretty much you have to... You just have to make it work. There's no option there. This job it's not a career. It's a paycheck for people, and so you're not getting necessarily the best people to do the work. The people with passion, and the people who actually are capable of making a real difference. They're not being paid enough, and it's not a valued career.
Absolutely. I think that's a very strong point there. It actually connects the two sort of strands, that if you actually don't have a well-qualified, trained and career-focused workforce rather than one that's casualised or just not trained or supported in any way, then instances like the abuse that Shannon and others told the inquiry about have occurred and still occur. Would that be a fair summation?
Through and
yes.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, ultimately, Leanne and Shannon, what were your joint recommendations to the Royal Commission into Abuse and Care? What did you want to see changed?
That we run things.
That we run things. That's as disabled people, as people with disabilities.
My life,
life, my way.
That's a good way of, I think, summarising it. I think that's the increasing call that I heard that is coming through from the Commission, at least tentatively. I guess the final report will bear that out. So just finally, Leanne, if you want to go ahead.
The one way I was putting it, and unfortunately, because I wasn't only speaking for about Shannon, I was in the hearing to speak on behalf of my brother Amos, who died while in state care 21 years ago. My time, although it was 2.5 hours, was limited, and I didn't get much chance to talk. But I want to put it to people like this. How about I send in the local knitting club woman to take over the motorcycle club and they run it how they see fit? Let's go to the next step, and I think this is the parallel we need to put our world, the world of people with disabilities, in. Why don't I send a bunch of white bankers into a marae, and they can say to the members of that marae, sorry, you can't run your marae, and you can't run it the way you want to. We're going to do it our way, because that is how people with disabilities have always had it. And that's what Shannon's saying. My life, my way. Our lives, our way. Not able-bodied people telling us how we should be.
The principles of self-determination is actually outlined in the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. That's, I think, what you're saying there. It's about nothing about us without us. It's the key element of the disability rights movement.
Correct. And no more little groups, what do you call them, where they put a whole bunch of people together to discuss disability issues and then make recommendations. We actually have to start having power.
Power and also action now, on, yeah. because it's taking, or has taken, about forever to get Enabling Good Lives off the ground.
One of the recommendations I did get a chance to make was that, and this came through loud and clear from multiple, if not every single person who spoke, is that there needs to be some sort of, organisations need accountability, but they need accountability at such a level that I mean criminal accountability. There was little things that were happening with Shannon that where the laws were actually being broken.
That's right.
Situation regarding his finances, I went to the police and I was told, oh, whoops, sorry, we get these complaints all the time. They can argue that it's bad accounting. We're not going to do anything about it. So organisations continue to do wrong. So that was one of the recommendations I made. I was privileged to be to hear afterwards that the commissioners took in. I finished with a message to New Zealand, and it went something to the effect of, until every able-bodied person in New Zealand stops treating us as fluffy stories to make them feel better or to be afraid, something to be afraid of, nothing will change.
I think that is a very, very strong way in which to, and a good point in which to end this interview. I have to say, thank you very much, Leanne and Shannon, for being one of the people who were brave enough, honest enough, and open enough to go before the actual public sessions of the commission itself. And I no doubt you not only spoke about your own experience, but from what I could gather of seeing at least, or reading at least, some of the testimony that emerged from that, from those hearings, that you spoke for so many other thousands of other disabled people around Aotearoa, and indeed the world, really, because it's such a common thing.
Can you see the smile on his face?
Yes.
He's as happy as a lamb. We're still getting used to working this machine.
Anyway, it's wonderful to talk to you, Leanne and Shannon Barnett, and they were talking about the Royal Commission of Inquiry, their appearance before that Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse and Care.
Again.
I'm going to give you, for those of you who may have been triggered or impacted in any way from that interview or want to talk about issues, where you can go for help. I'm going to do that. So these are details about the 1737 number. For anybody who may have been triggered by that previous interview in any way or want to talk about things about abuse or anything of that nature in general, about anything that might have happened in the past or be happening even in the present for you. And that's for disabled and non-disabled people alike. So really, the 1737 text number can deal with people who are feeling stressed or just need someone to talk to, feeling a bit down or overwhelmed, or may have been triggered by an event or in the past that we've just been talking about today with the interview with Leanne and Shannon. Whatever it is, the free text 1737 number is there anytime, 24 hours a day. You'll get to talk to or text with a trained counsellor or talk to a peer support worker. The service is completely free. They offer brief one-to-one counselling support where they focus on one or two things you need to support for. And you can also go to the website 1737.org.nz to find out more. And they also have a diverse team of people to talk to. They mainly provide support in English, but there may be cases, for example, in terms of supporting people with who are deaf and speak New Zealand Sign Language, who use New Zealand Sign Language to connect you with someone from your language of origin. So that's the 1737 number. It's by text and phone. It's a free call number. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There are also other very helpful hotlines that you can ring in terms of, for example, Lifeline Otago, on if you're feeling in a crisis or suicidal situation, prevention. And its number is 03-474-9111. And also there's another, yes, so that's the main Dunedin number for Lifeline. And there are other numbers available on various websites, but 1737 number is often a very good place to start. Okay, well, that's it for this edition of DPA Notable Radio. We'll be back on Friday the 19th of August. We'll have another interview in this series of interviews covering this time the perspective of a specialist, of a staff member who's worked in the area of disability and has witnessed abuse and tried to stop it. But anyway, we'll be back with that interview on the 19th of August. Have a good 2 weeks. Hei korera.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.